The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at the cock crow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ.
So we begin a season of watching and waiting. The gospel today invites us to be prepared. As you've noticed, we're still using our temporary sound system. And I have a little message from Father Richard and myself, and that is that we are working on it, and it is moving along. And in a few weeks, we'll have some information in the narthex that explains the different phases of our process for the audio, visual, security, and the lighting. There's four different parts to it. And so we'll have an update for you, and that does entail a bit of an expense for the parish that we weren't really prepared for or expecting. And our collection over the last few weeks, because of the pandemic, has been lower. We have many of our parishioners unable to come. So if there's any way you'd like to help with that, we certainly are doing what we can, and a number have come forward to help, and we thank you for that. But we are hoping that soon we'll be able to have the type of system in the parish that God deserves, and also one that will help all of us. Right? So many of our hearing impaired members of the parish are struggling just to hear what's being said, right? And it's not that my homily is that important, right? But I want to thank my brother Jason for being here. He's been with us for a little bit, and he'll be heading home tomorrow. And I believe he'll be back at Christmas. So we'll see him again. And I know he's probably listening to my homily, looking for heresies and things I might say. So I'm going to be very careful right now with what I say. But I wanted to begin talking about the season of Advent as a child. I remember so often at Christmas time when Grandma and Grandpa would drive over to visit, there was this expectation, right? Grandma and Grandpa are on their way. It was before smartphones, so you kind of didn't know when they were going to show up. Just that day they were going to show up, and you'd be there at the window with your nose pressed to the window, kind of waiting for them to come, and the excitement would just be building with joy. It certainly helped that they brought presents with them too, right? But we're waiting with joy for someone that we loved very much, and that is the season of Advent for us Christians. The Messiah is coming. Jesus is coming for his second coming. And we know him. When he came the first time, he died for us out of love. It's a person that we've all come to know in one way or another. There's nothing frightening about that second coming. And so this season of Advent is an invitation to begin hoping and watching. The problem we have as adults is we kind of stop putting our nose to the window the way we did when we were kids, looking to the future with wonder and hope. We sort of look to the past and think of the bad things that happened and perhaps just project those into the future. We don't always look with hope. But that's a Christian experience, holding your light with hope for what is to come. You'll notice that the three kings have made an appearance on the altar. They're a little early. And I chose to have them there because I wanted to talk about them in this homily. They probably won't be there next week. We might have a different statue there. But the three kings have joined us. And why is that? Well, you've noticed all over the church we have this theme, this question, am I missing? What am I missing? For this season of Advent, we'll have some existential questions to ask. The three wise men, they knew they were missing something. And because of that, they left everything they had to find Jesus. They had a feeling of being incomplete, a feeling of not yet arriving to where they were destined to be. I believe we can all understand that feeling. Right? Most of us probably don't feel that where we are right now is exactly where we want to be. We usually have some hope or dream for tomorrow. The three kings, in a beautiful way, represent at the manger each one of us. And I'll tell you why. The three kings appear in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew is writing a gospel. He didn't want to just convince the Jewish people that Jesus was the Savior. He wanted to convince the whole world. And so he writes, you could say, more to the Gentiles and the pagans and the Romans of his day. You see, the shepherd men, the ones that were called by the angel to the manger, they represent the Jewish faith and community. But the three kings are from completely outside of the Jewish world. They represent all of us, unless anyone here is a convert from the Jewish faith. And for that, then, you would be represented by the shepherds. But I think the majority of us here, we can see in the kings something of ourself. These men had to walk in the darkness. They didn't have the light of the Jewish faith or the Jewish scriptures. They were looking to the stars. If they were kings or astronomers or wise men, we don't really know their background, but we do know that they saw a star. Something happened in the heavens which pointed them towards Jerusalem. And as they got closer, they realized this was something of the Jewish faith, and the Jewish scripture said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. When they got to Jerusalem, they were shocked and surprised that no one seemed to be prepared or wanting to go to Bethlehem to find the Messiah. And so they had their journey. They continued by the light of the star. They literally walked in darkness. At times, we might feel that ourselves. At least I do, at times that you're walking, you're not really sure what's going to happen tomorrow. What's God going to ask of me? What's around the corner? If 2020 has taught us anything, it's we're never really prepared for what just might happen. And so it's a Christian experience of walking in the darkness, which means embracing faith, holding your candle. This Advent wreath is so beautiful, it reminds us we all carry a candle, the light of Christ. It's one thing I love about being a Christian, is that no matter how dark it gets, I know where I'm going. That's a beautiful thing we take for granted too often. The Magi are very much like you and me. They literally walked in the darkness. I invite you, like them, to have faith, to journey on. The Magi made a huge sacrifice. If they were kings or if they weren't kings, they certainly had a lot. They were wealthy, they were important, and in some way they left that behind to follow and to find that which they were missing, which was the Messiah. What am I willing to give up for Jesus? And I'll ask that question first to myself as Father Mike. What am I willing to give up this Advent for Jesus? Is there anything that I'm clinging to I don't want to let go of? That's a beautiful question to ask. The kings knew they were missing something. They gave up everything to find Christ. In another way that we're like the kings, not that we just walk in the darkness, but we also are carrying a gift. The three kings brought three gifts, and I know all the children here know the answer to those gifts. What were they? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Right. Well, we all carry a gift. In the gospel today, and I am talking about the gospel, so my brother doesn't get angry at me. The homily always has to talk about the gospel, so Here it is, Father Jason. The gospel today says each is given their own work to do as the master leaves. Each is given their own work. Each one of us has a story. Each one of us has a journey and a purpose and a task that God is giving you and little by little revealing to you. It's yours. One thing I love about being a Catholic is that I'm called to be a saint, but I'm called to be the saint that I want to be, the saint that's just me, hopefully Saint Father Mike. We have saints that guide us, but we're not supposed to imitate them completely. You need to be the saint that's just you. There's no wrong way to be a saint. I believe there's a candy bar that has something like that. There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's, right? There's no wrong way to be a saint as long as you are a saint. So what's the gift that we can bring to Jesus? What is our gold? Gold is something you give to a king. In my life, who's the king of my life? Is there anyone, any idol, any distraction, desire, whatever it might be in my life that I'm putting up over Jesus? Frankincense, that's a gift you give to a priest. It's a symbol of worship. It's a symbol of prayer going to heaven. A gift you can give to Jesus that only you can give is the time in your heart that you give to prayer this Advent. And every week when you come to St. Gabriel's or you're online watching, that hour you give, that worship to him, let it be honest and true and loving. And if during the week you can pop into the church for a visit or say a rosary or some extra prayer, that's that frankincense. And lastly, myrrh. What is myrrh? What was the purpose of Jesus receiving myrrh? Myrrh was something that you would use to bury someone, like a perfume. It was a preparation for his suffering and death. The kings helped him in that, and we're invited to also bring our myrrh. How do we do that? By embracing whatever cross is in your life. And I know that there's many of them. Perhaps it's the cross of caring for an elderly parent, maybe a family member with Alzheimer's. That's a heavy burden. Loving that cross is a way of loving Jesus. There's crosses that are never going to go away in our life. Maybe a pain or an illness you're dealing with, or a family member who's far away, or many parents here who wonder if they're going to be able to pay the bills next month. That's a cross to have to carry that each and every day. And for our young people here, the cross of being away from your friends, studying online, or just all the different rules you have to follow nowadays. Those are some crosses that if you offer those to Jesus now, that's you bringing your myrrh to our Lord. So today, as we begin Advent, let us be like the wise men. Next week, we'll have a different character from the gospel that will come, and they'll be under the wreath. You can probably guess who it might be. And I want to invite you this week, consider those questions. What am I missing? What's going to be my gold, my frankincense, and my myrrh? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.